570.
An LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peet.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peet.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM570 LA Sports. We'll talk about Thanksgiving later on this hour. You know, it's time to give thanks. Is there a family member you really don't want to see at Thanksgiving that shows up?
Whoa!
What? Was that wrong?
Not crazy Uncle Fred.
Right. You know, that one that shows up, you're like, oh, God, no.
There he is. Uncle Bobby.
He's here.
He comes. Those stupid jokes.
Right.
Uncle Bobby doesn't even eat. He just drinks.
What? Yeah, he just drank. He's going to be drunk in 30 minutes. Then he's going to be crying at the end of the night.
Okay. Then after he wakes up, he's the one taking home all the to-go plates. He was like, all right, well, I guess I better get out of here. Didn't bring nothing but his appetite.
Oh, there you go, Uncle Bobby. He's crying again. Oh, man.
Happy Thanksgiving, Uncle Bobby. Oh, by the way, Rodney, we have a chase. And the chase now is LAPD pursuit of a possibly armed suspect.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, they just cut out, Fred.
Yeah, so we've lost it.
Son of a.
Because that's not who we want to see. Bob DeCastro. Oh, no, now we're back. And it's San Julian Street in the Wholesale District of Los Angeles. Adam Austin, the Salty A, brought to you by Honey, the Money Saving Browser Extension, is with us to talk some NBA.
Whoa!
Yeah, I'm brought to you by that, not the Chase, so just want to be clear on that.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the Chase. It's just side streets now.
Oh, those calls.
Moving around. Yeah, not close enough.
Is it going fast?
Oh, wait a minute.
Almost a side swipe, Fred.
Here we go. Into a parking lot now. So now maybe we better stay on it for a second.
That's going to cost him a lot.
Is he going fast?
Oh, no. Now he's slowed down, and he's trying to... He's in a parking lot near a building just circling the parking lot. That was a bad call.
You're not going to lose him going 5 miles per hour here.
That was a really bad call. All right. Now he's back out of the parking lot. Oh!
That's a car he almost hit earlier. That white van.
Yeah. And now he's just moving down the street. He's on Wall Street. Now East 9th Street. Petros, come on in. Sit down.
I got to get it
worked. Turn on the microphone. Sit down here. You're the car chase man. Sit down.
No.
Just sit down and turn on the mic for 5 seconds and do a little car chase. It's Thanksgiving. Adam's here. Rodney's getting it turned on. All right.
What channel are you on?
11. Just hit the other button, P. There.
There he is.
Okay, well, you can...
No, but
going slow through a parking
Rodney.
Lot. What is he doing?
All right. Go ahead. He's driving around. Go ahead,
no,
Pete.
I just noticed that it's Skid Row, and that makes
He almost hit the baby. He almost hit the babies.
More of an adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, you got all those kind of bodega shops, and you got the tents, and the Night of the Living Dead crackheads. And it really, and I just want to say that, oh, my God, he's on the other side of the street. This is a lot of congestion downtown, and people don't drive well there anyway.
No, they
don't. I'm a downtown rider, as you know, so this is especially intense. Do we got Stu on the call right now? You guys got to turn up Stu. Do you have Stu turned up?
Ronnie will pot up Stu.
Why haven't you done that? How are you going to follow the chase if you don't have Stu potted?
Here he is.
I mean, the greatest moment of my life was when Fred had the helicopter follow me from Fox to NBC.
That's right.
Did you really?
Yeah.
We had Gil Lavis.
Yeah, after I did the USC-Washington State game from the studio. Oh, no. Crosswalk. Oh, they blacked it out.
Something happened?
I hope not.
No, they just lost the signal.
Are you sure, Fred?
Oh, no.
We start getting closer to...
Well, you can still hear Stu Mundell.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. We're back. That guy looks stoic, though.
They're having a harder issue trying to keep an eye.
Oh, now he's turning it on. That's going to be a problem here in a minute.
Where's he headed?
They weren't bird's eye view.
But you can see what they're talking.
They lost him. Get on him, Stu. Oh, no, Fred.
Stu lost him?
Stu lost him. Look at that. He lost him right by the old Herald building.
Stu doesn't usually lose anybody.
Oh, people in the crosswalk. Oh, no. Oh.
Somebody else might have him, though. Check with KCAL. Check with Channel 5.
No, here he is.
Oh, there's his punk ass.
They got him.
They have caught up to this SUV.
Yeah, they've got.
Oh, we're on KCAL now? Okay.
You know, and the question that we want to know is what started this? Was it a patrol stop and the suspects was engaged in narcotics, or was this potentially a surveillance?
Or Petros just left.
Narcotics unit, or a task force?
They lost him. We lost Pete.
That they then tried to make contact with the suspect.
Boy, Stu Mundell's having a bad day.
Was this?
He lost the car, and then he lost Petros.
They had to zoom way out there to try to find him.
What were those circumstances? All right. But when you're dealing with a narcotic suspect, you also have to wonder if the person is potentially under the influence of narcotics, and this could be driving their erratic behavior as well.
All right, so anyway,
I got my popcorn. Around.
Do you? Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's armed. Armed suspect.
Yeah.
A lot of crosswalks that he's passing and going through is just, that's the scary thing. And turning corners and... One way, a bunch of people were in the crosswalk.
I know there's got to be some delay going on, Fred, but it still gives me anxiety. I still feel like at any point I'm back to driving school and watching Red Asphalt. And I don't need that. It's the holidays.
The helicopter may have got it once again. Justin's running that camera. Adam's using...
All right, anyway, the chase is going on, and we'll keep you posted on that. We'll keep an eye on it, and if anything happens, because we're all watching it, we'll just yell. All right. Adam, last night the Lakers lose again. I said this to Rodney earlier, and you tell me what you think. You know, if this continues and they keep looking bad, even when LeBron comes back, somebody's got to pay for that, right?
Well, I don't think they're going to keep looking bad when LeBron James comes back.
Okay.
And I know they were down in Detroit. That was a competitive game. Obviously, they were down by 17 at one point, but he's that connector. And he's as much as a glue guy as he is a superstar out there. He makes the job easier for everyone else. And while they've lost 4 of 5, they only had LeBron for 2 quarters of those games. And he can help alleviate some of what's going on with Russell Westbrook, with just handling the ball, being erratic out there, turning the ball over multiple times early in the game last night, getting taken out of the game before he did help them mount that comeback where they had it tied late in New York. I think it was late in the third quarter, and Russell Westbrook had 25 after being down by 25 in the second half. He can help take the pressure off of Westbrook or just save him from himself, and that's what they need right now. And tonight, they're going up against a good Indiana team that's playing better. They just beat the Chicago Bulls by 35, and they'll be in Indiana. So it's not going to be an easy contest, but after that, they have the Kings twice. I believe they have OKC again coming up, which I guess is not an easy win for the Los Angeles Lakers. But
no. They
do have some easier games. The schedule gets easier. They're on a tough road trip right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Adam. They really look bad. Let's just be honest.
Are you pointing to Frank Vogel? Just say it, Fred. Just say it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Going after Frank Vogel.
I'm not pointing to Frank Vogel, and I'm not saying anything should happen to Frank Vogel. But if this continues, something's going to happen.
It's easier to change out the head coach than the entire roster.
Right, and I don't think Frank Vogel deserves it. That's my point. I don't think people should point the finger at him and say, Frank, this is on you.
Well,
you just did, Fred.
No.
For the whole show.
No.
You literally are pointing the finger right now.
No, what I said, But what I said was, that should not be the case. I think it's BS, to be honest with you.
But that could happen.
Yeah, right.
Basically.
Yeah, Fred.
I agree with you.
People like you that put it out there in the universe to get everybody else start talking about it and put the pressure on from the outside, Fred.
Look, I'm old enough to remember when Frank Vogel was going to get undercut by Jason Kidd, who's no longer even with the Los Angeles Lakers, and that was going to be a done deal. So I think while there are murmurs right now, while people are saying he's not optimizing lineups, a lot of it is just effort. When you have two max players out there, and Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook, even that without LeBron James, that should be good enough for you to win games.
Exactly.
And that's been an issue for them. But that's what's Frank Vogel supposed to do about those guys? What's he supposed to do about Russell Westbrook? He didn't make the move to go out there and get him. For all we know, he might have wanted Buddy Hield. He might have wanted to keep KCP. They didn't do so. Right. These are the cards he's been dealt. If you want to pinpoint anybody who's at fault for what's going on right now, it would be the front office. It would be Rob Pelinka.
Well, it'd be LeBron because he told Rob Pelinka what to do.
Sure, but you're not getting rid of LeBron.
No. No.
But what does that say if you're Rob Pelinka and you can't make a decision? What is he doing there then?
I mean, he's there to help facilitate LeBron James trades. LeBron James runs the Lakers.
I'm just saying.
He holds your franchise hostage.
At some point, if you're the GM and whether it's LeBron or not, Don't you got to put your foot down and say this is going to be a better fit for us? If you are the GM,
if it's going to fall on you, you should. The right. problem is, if you don't do it, it's also going to fall on you. If they don't get Westbrook and LeBron's unhappy, it's all look. You're put in a bad spot. It's a no-win yep. situation when you have LeBron James at times as your player. But remember, the silver lining is you have a chance to win it all, and that's why people do it. That's why they let their franchises be held hostage by guys that are this good. And LeBron James is obviously as good as it gets, maybe the best player of all time. So I understand why they did it, and they just did win a championship 2 years ago. So you would think that that gives him a little bit of leeway.
Not that much.
With Frank Vogel.
Oh, yeah, with Frank Vogel. But they didn't even really extend him a number of years in this go-round. I think he's getting... My point is, I think this guy might get the shaft for no reason.
If he does, it would be unfair, but he hangs his hat on defense. And right now, they're 20th in that area. With Anthony Davis on the floor, I don't care if they don't have LeBron James right now. They have enough guys to get it done. I think they are too much of an emotional, moody, they think they're a flip-the-switch type of team right now, that they can turn it on when they want to. The problem is, when you're dealing with guys that, you know, don't only play hard when shots are falling, and that's what we saw in the second half of that game against Detroit, where all of a sudden they played lockdown defense down the stretch in that fourth quarter. Well, it's because they were hitting shots, and they felt good about themselves, and they were playing together, and they rallied around LeBron James getting kicked out of the game. That stuff is unusual, though. You can't rely on that each and every game. There have been two games so far that we thought were going to be turning points this season for the Lakers. One, when they beat Miami in overtime. And we thought that was a gutty win.
Yes.
That was a big win. And this is the start of something. Two, when they beat Detroit after LeBron got kicked out the other night. And they ended up losing the very next game both times. So obviously, it's going to be a lot more than just something emotional out there changing. They just have to give better effort. And maybe there is something schematically they can do different. But he's playing Anthony Davis at the five more. He has been doing that. And if AD isn't going to embrace playing the five and play great defense like he would if it was a playoff game most of the time, he can't cover up for the rest of the guys' inadequacies on defense. And that's what he's supposed to do as the anchor and one of the best defensive players in the league right now. And he's not.
Yeah, and wasn't that the goal of bringing in Westbrook, Adam? Was if LeBron was out or AD was out, then between the two of them, they'd be able to hold it down. And they haven't been able to hold it down. With LeBron being out, they haven't been able to hold it down. Is it AD not being assertive enough and dominant enough? Because everybody says that. It's not about LeBron. It's not about Westbrook. AD is the one that has to be dominant in order for the Lakers to win a championship. And does it fall on him when LeBron is out that he has not at least stepped up to the point where he is extremely dominant? I know some games he's been doubled and triple teamed. And guys haven't hit shots, but it just feels like he hasn't taken over like I think a lot of people expected him to.
I think part of it's on him, and he has to be accountable for that. And part of it is the nature of the position he plays, where he's dependent on other guys getting him the basketball. Now, defensively, what I was just talking about, that's different. He has to be much better on that end. But offensively, it's a guard-driven league, or it's a small forward, you know, point guard, combo forward league now. And he is waiting to get the basketball, and he's waiting far too often on the outside now, too. Yep. And so some of it, yes, he has to be better, more assertive out there. He does, because he's basically being given the keys to the kingdom for the Lakers. He's the guy who's 27, 28. He's in the prime of his career or just entering it, and he's supposed to carry things on once LeBron James and Russell Westbrook are both gone. And he's not taking that position of leadership. We haven't seen it so far. And you look at all the numbers over the past couple of years when LeBron James is out, even before they got Westbrook, when it's just Anthony Davis, they're a completely different team. They're a negative out there. And he was better than that with the Pelicans at times, where he actually did show some leadership. When they did make playoff runs on much worse teams, less talented teams, it seemed like he felt comfortable in that role, but it hasn't happened so far with the Lakers, at least consistently.
All right, let's talk about the Clippers. Come up a little short last night.
Yeah, a little short. How about that shot from PG-13, though? Come on, Fred.
Yeah.
Do I need to show you the highlight again? Like they
ran. Do it on Fred. Show it on Fred.
Show it on Fred?
Yeah.
Like throw my phone at his head, and here's the highlight.
Exactly.
It's on you. Well, look, The Clippers' issues aren't defense. That's what's interesting. I never would have thought going into this season that their defense would be so far ahead of their offense. I would have thought without Kawhi Leonard, without Marcus Morris until last night, with Serge Ibaka and re-returning once again, that they would have really struggled defensively. And they have the number two defense, and that's what's been holding them up. Problem is, their offense is ranked 23rd, and they have been going through huge slumps and lulls throughout games, like last night in overtime, where they scored 1 point. 1 point, and it was a technical free throw by Paul George. They lost overtime 9-1 to the Dallas Mavericks.
Right.
After rallying and Paul George hitting that miraculous three-pointer to get them there. And they had another four-minute stretch in the fourth quarter where they went scoreless. So I spin it like this, and I don't want to call it spin, but I know a lot of people are concerned about their offense right now. And to me, I'd rather have their offense be behind than their defense, because if you hang your hat on your defense, if that's what you rely on and lean on, that should always be there. That's an effort thing. Offensively, they'll figure that out schematically. They still have the firepower. They still have enough guys, even without Kawhi Leonard, to be very good, to be a top 10 offense. And they have the head coach in Tyronn Lue that's going to figure it out. It's going to take a little bit more time because I think they've had too much reshuffling with the lineup. But most of all, look, they have the one thing I was concerned about most going into this season for the Clippers was not having Kawhi for who knows how long, because there's nothing you can do about that, and there's nothing you can do about this either, but it's the schedule. They play five different times this season. They have five instances where they play five games in 7 nights.
Aren't they the only team in the league with that?
Portland has it too. Those are the only two teams. The Lakers only have to do that once. There are seven other teams that don't do it at all. And that goes back to Staples Center and being third billing and why it's so important for the Clippers to get their own home, because they have these unusual Saturday, Sunday, 12:30 starts, but also they play more back-to-backs because of this, because of the scheduling with the LA Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers, and it turns into a mess. And people talk about scheduled losses all the time. That's a real thing. People want to say it's an excuse, back-to-backs. Go look at any team's record the second night of a back-to-back. It is significantly worse, their winning percentage. So guys get tired. Just because they're pros doesn't mean they're robots out there. They get gassed. And Paul George played 48 minutes last night. And you could tell by the end of it, he was basically falling over every time he went to the basket. So the schedule is a problem. They have four more of those instances where they play five games in 7 nights. It is brutal.
Are you surprised at all by the Golden State Warriors, their start?
I am, because they don't have Clay back, Wiseman. I thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be this good this fast. And I was talking with somebody the other day, and they're like, whoa, they got Steph Curry. It's like, well, they also had Steph Curry last year, and they weren't a top eight team. They lost in the play-in tournament. That's not the difference. I mean, they have guys that are just playing really well right now. The Otto Porter Jr. pickup was really good for them. And as good as Steph has been, they're just connected out there. They have great chemistry. They're back to that similar ball movement we saw in 2015, 2016, even with KD, where it elevates everybody else because they're so on point and in tune on the court with one another. It's really tough to guard them. Steph's running off all those screens. Draymond Green looks to be having somewhat of a resurgence, not offensively still, but he's still one of those multi-tooled Swiss Army knives out there.
He's becoming a factor again. Yeah.
He can do a little bit of everything, and he and Steph Curry, you know, they know each other so well. So they can play like they have eyes in the back of their head a lot of times. And most teams are still coming together at this point in the season. We're about 20% of the way in. But the Golden State Warriors hit the ground running, and I didn't expect it to happen this fast. I thought Steph would put up big numbers, but I thought they would still struggle overall until Klay comes back, and that could be in the next 2 or 3 weeks now. He's back to practicing. So I'm not willing to say that they are for sure, you know, the top or the top two team in the Western Conference. I still would take the Phoenix Suns over them, the Lakers when they're playing well, and the Denver Nuggets when they're healthy, but who knows what's going to happen with Michael Porter Jr. But they have surprised me a little bit, and they are a well-oiled machine currently.
You know, as you just look at the standings now, a quarter of the way through, what has surprised you? What has shocked you?
What has shocked me? Boston's off to a really slow start, a really poor start. And some of that may just be shooting variance with guys not hitting from the outside. We've talked about this all season, but I got the number for you. You want to know how different things are this season. The team with the number one offensive rating right now would be the Utah Jazz at about a 114 point something. Who cares? But they would only be the ninth best offense last year with that same rating. So now you take last year's number one defense, they would only be the 15th best defense this year. So the point is, things have skewed so much more in favor of defense. Offenses have fallen off a cliff compared to where they were the last couple of years. And maybe it was the offensive bubble, and we went too far with the rules being too loose and the freedom of movement and all that. And I do think the rule change is a big factor, and I still think the Wilson ball is a big factor, because defense has nothing to do when you look at wide open misses, and those are down too. That's the basketball. That has nothing to do with the way guys are being defended. They're wide open last year. They're wide open this year. The only difference there, the only change in the variable, is the Wilson basketball. It's going to take time for some. And Jason Tatum was one of those guys with the Boston Celtics. One of the teams, though, in the East that I definitely thought originally this past summer made all the right moves. Outside the Clippers retaining Kawhi Leonard, I thought they had the best offseason, and that would be the Chicago Bulls. And even though they lost by 30 the other night to the Indiana Pacers, who the Lakers will see later, and good luck, the Chicago Bulls have, on paper, they look good, but it's translated, and it happened quickly. Like the Golden State Warriors, but with the Chicago Bulls, when you bring in DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso.
Buckets.
And they've had Nikola Vucevic out for health and safety protocols, and it doesn't matter. Those guys are really in sync. And it's just right pieces, right fit, which is something the Lakers have not been doing recently. It's the antithesis of what the Lakers did.
Absolutely, and when you watch them, at least, you know, when you watch Golden State, and you mentioned they've gone back to moving without the basketball. They're just constantly moving. They feel like they're more athletic. And even when the Bulls came to play the Lakers, they were the more athletic and younger, obviously. But moving around and quicker and just playing with a lot more energy. And say what you will, but you know, Alex Caruso is doing his thing and is showing why he was such an important piece for the Lakers. What he's doing with the Bulls, but you're right. That's a dangerous young team with a veteran guy like DeRozan that can fill it up that you better be watching out for.
Yeah, and DeRozan is actually leading them in scoring, not Zach LaVine. And that's a little bit surprising too, but it's worked out right where they've surrounded Zach LaVine with the right pieces so he doesn't have to do everything offensively anymore. When you have somebody else getting 25, 26 a night that you can rely on in DeMar DeRozan, that has changed the way Zach LaVine plays. All of a sudden, he's better defensively. He's playing more like he does in the Olympics, where it's not all on his plate offensively. You bring out the best in him, but they just gelled so quickly. And to your point about Caruso, you look at the numbers, just like with the Lakers, they're not that impressive. But you look at the winning, you look at some of the advanced stuff, the plus-minus stuff with him, it's exactly like it was with the Lakers. He always contributes to wins.
All right, what happened with the car chase, you ask, which we started this half hour with? The suspect got out of the minivan and is now moving around downtown. They lost him. So the police are trying to find him. Yeah.
Son of a...
Yeah. He got out, and now they're trying to find him.
Oh.
Well, you know what? But if you got out, you don't want to run because then you'll look guilty.
You'll stand out.
Right. The immediate thing.
You don't look guilty when you're leading police cars around the city. You don't look guilty.
Yeah, but if you are able to.
What the hell are you talking about?
No, if you can elude the police car and then pull over, get out, and just start blending in and walking around.
Right. You don't want to make it look like heat or anything like that.
You know what I mean? Right. You just, hey, day before Thanksgiving. Let me just jump in this building for a minute. So anyway, if they go back to the chase, we'll let you know. All right, Adam, thank you. Brought to you by Honey, the money-saving browser extension.
I love you guys. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your families.
Back at you, Adam.
Yep. Didn't sound sincere.
Thanksgiving Eve. Can we say that?
Yeah, we can.
Yes.
It's true. All right, so for Thanksgiving, you know, what's your favorite dish? What's a recipe we should know about? What are you thankful for? Or who's the relative at Thanksgiving you don't want to see? I think that would be the most fun. Who don't you want to see? You know they're going to be there, but who don't you really want to see? 866-987-2570. We'll do this for a couple of minutes. Okay, Alex in Rolling Heights. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? Long-time fan, first-time caller. Yeah, I don't want to go see my cranky aunt. My cranky aunt and her cranky nephews. I don't know. They're a little cranky when I go out there. They're always kind of drunk. And when I get there, they're already wasted.
They're already wasted. But are you going out there? But are you going to go see him?
Oh, yeah. I got to go see my grandma. I mean, I love that woman. So it's my grandma's cranky old sister. And they're... the other half of the family that shouldn't be mentioned.
All right. Well, Alex, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Have a good Thanksgiving, and maybe you ought to get there and start drinking, too, so it won't be as bad.
I listen to you guys every day, so have a good one.
Hey, you too. Appreciate it, Alex. Happy Thanksgiving. 866-987-2570. You don't want to go see the cranky aunt.
No, you don't want to see the
cranky kids.
No cranky kids.
They're drunk before he gets there. All right, Joe in L.A. Joe, thanks for calling. What's your favorite dish?
Sweet potato pie.
Yeah.
We don't want pumpkin pie, just sweet potato pie.
Sweet potato pie.
Rodney and Eric knows about that.
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean? I can't know about it? What are you saying, Joe?
Well, let's not get salty, Fred.
Wait, what are you saying?
How many times have you had sweet potato pie,
Fred? Exactly, Fred.
I've had sweet potato pie, and, you know, I don't need Joe, Captain Inglewood calling, and giving me a hard time thinking I don't know, because I do know.
You do know.
Okay. That's right.
Okay, well, Fred, okay, since Gonzaga blew out UCLA, do they have to apologize like Inglewood High School had to apologize?
Joe, that is Division I college basketball, not high school football where you're beating somebody 59-0 at the end of the first quarter.
Well, shouldn't Gonzaga apologize to UCLA so something like this will never happen again?
Oh, no, that might happen again. That might. But there's a distinct difference, Joe, when you're pummeling somebody at the high school level and running up the score. There's a distinct difference, and you know that.
USC this past weekend. Rodney said if you can score 50 on us, fine, do it.
Rodney, set him straight.
Hey, I have the tape.
That's what I
Rodney
said. Hey, listen. If they can do it, it's one thing, run-ups. But, you know, I can't, like we talked about in the USC-UCLA game, right? I said, look, I can't say on the other side we wouldn't have done the same.
Exactly. And by the way, Inglewood High School and Morningside High School, only 3 months apart, 3 miles apart, 10 minutes, same recruiting base and pool.
Joe, I get that. In high school football, you don't beat somebody 106-0 and go for two. You don't do that, Joe. You just don't do it.
Because you can't go for three.
All right, goodbye.
Now they're taking it a little too far.
Yeah, see, he had to do it. He had to do it. Gabriel and Fullerton. All right, you're going to talk about a recipe for people. Gabriel, you there?
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that was just too funny, man. He was serving you.
I don't know if I need that either, Gabriel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Brad. Well, my favorite recipe, unfortunately, I haven't had in years, is a ceviche that my grandmother used to serve.
Oh, ceviche. Ooh.
That Thanksgiving.
Grandmama used to do it up on Thanksgiving? Had. Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's from South America. She doesn't do Thanksgiving, like, I guess, traditional with turkey and stuff. Right. She just, you know, made everything to access from Peru. And one of the best things was the ceviche, like this seafood ceviche, man. It was nice. Right amount of spice on it. Oh, so good.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it was Rodney, man. You got to give Fred there another dose of humble pie, man, because he apparently needs some more.
Well, why do I... Look, I don't need... What do I need humble pie for, Gabriel? What did I do?
Fred, that's the thing. You don't do anything, but man, you take these shots like a champ. That's all we can say, man. That's why you're the dean.
That's why you're the dean. There you go, Freddie.
Right. Hey, Gabriel, thanks for listening, man. Have a great Thanksgiving. Appreciate you.
I like
all
that,
the time,
Gabriel.
Fred, all the time.
All right, take care.
No, I like that, Fred, because I like the traditional stuff, the traditional Thanksgiving, but I also like a little, you know, non-traditional stuff mixed in.
Like, know, noodles?
Yeah, not noodles. No, my sister-in-law, she's Mexican, and she always has tamales on Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, that is
they homemade the tamales, and it's unbelievable. It's really, really good. Her and her mom, and they spend all night cooking tamales along with the turkey and the dressing and all that stuff. So it's a good change up. So I always like that.
Hey, Jimmy U10 tweeted the show. You know what his favorite Jimmy U10, you know what his favorite Thanksgiving dish is?
Yes.
Vodka with ice cubes. Ronnie, open the
Jimmy's that uncle that fell asleep halfway through the fell asleep before the food is served and then wakes up at the end.
All right, and now we have to take Mitch because we know what he looks like. Mitch, happy Thanksgiving. Go ahead.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. How you guys doing?
Mitch, we're
not
fine.
A first-time caller.
We know, Mitch.
I know.
Jesus Christ, Mitch. We put you on. We put you on. We shout you out. We say, come on, Mitch.
You.
It's your day. Hey. I'm not a first-time caller. How you guys doing? We're fine, Mitch. We're fine.
Hey, I'm gonna be a grandfather in the next July. My favorite dish is the mashed potato gravy or sweet potato mash. I'm pretty sure my sister-in-law down in Virginia is not coming because she doesn't like outside her family, which is too bad.
Mitch,
hey, wait, your sister-in-law who?
My sister-in-law, my brother's wife.
Yeah, sister. What's her name?
She can stay in Virginia. Becky.
Becky's not coming because she doesn't like anybody in the family?
Not on his side. I don't know if my brother realizes or not, but, you know, that's it. We've been married like 30-plus years. The cement's dry. You got to stay. You got to stick around for the good or the bad. That's my belief. I'll be 29 years we've been married, my wife and I.
Well, Mitch,
I wish you can come down. Well, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Oh, Jesus, Mitch. Mitch!
Oh, go ahead. I wish when I retire in 2 years, I'd like to come over there and maybe heckle you at work. How's that?
All right, no, Mitch.
I won't heckle you.
No, that's not going to happen. Now, Mitch, listen. First of all, we bring you on. We ask for your dish. You announce you're going to be a grandfather, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. And it might be twins, too.
Well, you learn more every second. Mitch.
Congratulations, Mitch.
We appreciate you sharing that with us. Then you've just announced that you're going to retire in 2 years. Was this your formal announcement of your retirement?
I'll tell my bosses about a week before. I know a month for the paperwork.
Okay, Mitch. Well, listen.
One day at a time.
And he did say mashed potatoes or sweet potato, mashed potatoes.
Sweet potatoes, Mitch.
Yeah, and he said Betty or whatever her name isn't coming.
And Becky. Fred, yeah, you missed the most important part.
What was that?
The most important part was is that after he retires, he's going to come live with you.
That's right. Yeah. Going to hang out and help you
no,
at work.
No, I said heckle.
Yeah.
I said visit.
Yeah, okay.
I'll heckle you guys. Oh. Hey, enjoy your holidays and everything. Be safe.
All right, goodbye, Mitch.
You too, Mitch. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jeez. Mitch.
Fred? It's like,
goodbye,
happy holidays.
Mitch. Bye. Oh, my God, Fred.
He's going to go drink himself.
No.
He's going to drink a bottle of red right now.
Let me tell you something. After that, he's not drinking anything, but I sure the hell am. That's right, Rodney. I know. But since it's Thanksgiving, we have to give thanks. We have to give thanks.
Yeah, we got to give thanks.
Oh, yeah.
Look at you.
Got to acknowledge.
Not even on Thanksgiving is someone immune from your sad sack, Fred.
Well,
not even on Thanksgiving.
Don't you want to thank this individual for being the sad sack? I do. Detroit Pistons forward Cade Cunningham. Top overall pick struggled last night. 2 for 10 from the field. Scored 6 points in the loss for Miami. Detroit is now 4-13 on the year. They needed Isaiah Stewart. Because he would have shaken it up, I promise you that. The sad sack of the day. Cade Cunningham of the Detroit Pistons. Okay, next hour. And it's really appropriate. There, you know, every day we need our spirituality. But when we head into a weekend where there's a holiday like Thanksgiving, where we all come together as a family, we need it more than ever, Rodney, don't you think?
Oh, my goodness, Fred. Are you kidding me? This is the time we need it. Give back, give thanks, get spiritual. Share the love, Fred. That's what we need.
You know what
we
I just...
need a moment
yeah,
to get grounded.
Yes.
To feel it.
Yes.
Didn't you make a request for today?
Yeah, and we're not...
Didn't you?
You were first. Fred requested that Vic not do his own haiku. I remember that.
I was just that just popped into my mind.
I remember yes. that vividly.
That and you asked for what's her name?
Brenda.
Oh, Brenda Ganim.
Brenda.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the woman he knows who was going through a tough time.
Right.
And you know our thoughts are with her.
Correct.
He's like Mitch. All of a sudden.
I'm not going to sit here and let you tell me and the audience that Vic is like Mitch.
All right, years ago when I'm doing curling in Vancouver for NBC, one of the analysts was Don Duguid. Now, Donnie Duguid, or as we called him, Doogie. And he was a great Canadian curler.
Come on.
Oh, no, this is God's truth.
That's his actual given name?
Yeah, Don Duguid. He was Doogie. So anyway,
and they called him Doogie for short?
Yeah.
Did he do good?
Yeah, he did good. So anyway, he was the analyst for years and just a wonderful guy, but he had kind of become like Vic a little bit. So what he would do on the air is he would start talking, but all of a sudden it wouldn't be about, I'd block, coming out of the hack, I'd block here. He'd start telling stories about people he knew that made no sense and no one knew who they were. And we would go to break, and I'd say, Doogie.
What would you say?
Doogie.
What would you say, Brett?
Doogie. Well, who are you talking about? And, he couldn't even remember who he was talking about. He was just talking, telling stories about people that went to the doctor. And at one point he said, whoever it was, I took him swimming. I said, why would you take him swimming, Doogie? Well, I just did. And those were the games in Vancouver that we had someone named Colleen Jones. And she was a very famous TV personality in Canada. She only did it for us one time, Colleen Jones. And she was a very, very famous TV personality, and she was also a former curler. They had Wayne Gretzky on. Now, I said, maybe I should do the interview with Wayne from the broadcast position, from the booth. They said, no. We're going to put him over here during the match so we can talk about it. You know what she asked him? Don't you think it would be fun if you and I did some nude curling?
What?
Yeah. It sounds like Vince McMahon and the XFL all over again, Fred. That's right. What it's like.
And that pretty much ended Colleen Jones on NBC.
Hey, yikes.
What? Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Wayne?
Yeah. What was Wayne's response?
No response. He just sat there.
Like,
he was shocked. He was shocked into silence.
I mean, what would you say? It's still, it was cable, but it was a national broadcast. She's asking him, want to do a little nude curling? She was kind of like Mitch and Vic and Doogie.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.